Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Artificial intelligence is going to drive demands for energy like never before. It's estimated that just one ChatGPT query uses as much energy as a light bulb does over a 20-minute period. It's no wonder then that Microsoft has struck a deal with the owners of a closed nuclear plant in Pennsylvania to reopen it to deal with demand. And both Amazon and Google have announced massive investments in small nuclear reactor technology to meet their energy needs. But is the microgeneration of nuclear the answer to greener energy for those power-hungry industries, or is it a distant pipe dream? Well, here to tell us more now is Dr. Paul Dean, who's Senior Lecturer in Clean Energy at University College Cork. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Claire.
First off, is there a little bit of panic in the tech sector when it comes to meeting the energy demands of AI? Is it something that's crept up on them?
There is a lot of panic, really, Claire. Look, and we're talking about big bets on new technology here and also big bucks. The kind of things that we're talking about here certainly aren't cheap. And really, I suppose, what's changed in the last 2 or 3 years is the enormous proliferation, I suppose, of AI. And as you said, look, a typical AI search can use up to 10 times more energy than a standard Google search. And this has left, I suppose, a lot of big tech companies scrambling in terms of understanding where will they get their energy needs from. Now, traditionally, a lot of these big players like Google and Microsoft and Amazon were heavily reliant on renewables such as wind and solar, and they were doing pretty well there. But actually, it's not just about technology in terms of renewables. The big challenge here as well is time, how quickly you can build these things. The demand for this AI energy is growing very, very quickly. So in a quest, I suppose, to address the technology and the time issue, they're exploring this idea now of small modular nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm. With huge investments in them. And just to clarify, are we describing nuclear facilities as carbon-free generators of electricity? And is that definition accepted?
Yeah, so there's an accepted definition for nuclear that it doesn't produce carbon pollution, but of course it does produce radioactive waste. And that's something really clear that the nuclear industry are still grappling with at the moment, with nuclear waste coming from nuclear facilities. What we tend to do is just produce as little of it as we can, and then it's buried in a kind of a hole. Now, that's putting it very simply. It's put in a very, in a very high-tech containment area. But so they don't produce carbon pollution, which means it's good for the planet, but they do produce small amounts of radioactive waste. And that's a worry for the industry and something that the industry really hasn't got to grips with yet.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about these small nuclear reactors, or SMRs as they're known. How do they work?
Yeah, look, it's a fancy name really for something that has been around for, the technology has been around for an awful long time. Look, if any Irish people have been on holidays in France during the summer in the UK, would probably have driven past a large nuclear power station. You know, they're very, I suppose, distinctive in terms of their very large cooling towers, cooling the steam coming from. Now, those technologies are unusual in some regards because they're very, very large, but actually a lot of them were built and designed back in the 60s and the 70s. And where the challenge has come for nuclear technology now is trying to build new nuclear power plant is running into barriers in terms of a lot of large infrastructure is facing in terms of cost overruns, budget overruns. So building new nuclear, and we're seeing this in the UK, it tends to take a long time, take a lot of money, and the planning and the permitting process is very arduous. So what engineers and what scientists are looking at now, and really, I suppose, hoping as well, is just applying the same technology, but instead of making it very large, looking at making it very small. And in many ways, look, we've heard the idea of small modular homes, I suppose, being put around in Ireland and in Europe in an effort, I suppose, to address the housing crisis. It's the same kind of concept that's been applied now to nuclear. The hope is that if we can kind of build these units small, but don't build them on the site. Build them off-site in a central location. And that means that labour can be standardised, costs can be controlled. And if they are small, then the idea is that you can maybe put it on the back of a truck and you'd ship it off or you transport it off to the area where it's needed. Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of technology, really, in the same process. But the two things that are different, it's a lot smaller. And I suppose the the thing that's interesting and curious from a scientific perspective is that instead of taking nuclear technology, which typically would have been designed in the 60s and 70s, if we apply new rules and new technologies now, can we make it safer and can we make it easier to design?
Well, what does it tell us about wind and solar energy and its capacity to scale up if these big tech companies who are looking at the demands that they're going to face in the coming years are going, no, that's not going to cut it, we have to look at something else?
So it's interesting, actually, that we're seeing, you know, the big tech companies, particularly data centers, looking at this technology. We're not really seeing civil governments getting interested in it in a high degree. Look, there is some interest in this in China and Russia at a smaller scale, but it's not out there on a commercial level yet. The thing that's different about data centers and big tech is that their demand for electricity from data centers is very stable and very steady. And that matches very well the output from a potential new nuclear reactor. Nuclear reactors, what we tend to want to do is turn them on and leave them on. That means they're producing steady power. And what Google and Microsoft and the Amazons, I suppose, are looking at here, they're not looking at this from a cheap perspective. This will not be cheap. This will cost a fortune. But for them, what it promises is reliable and secure power. Renewables are great and doing very well in countries like Ireland and in Europe. But the challenge is that their output from an electrical perspective varies with the weather. Whereas with nuclear, you can turn it on and leave it on. So it makes a nice, I suppose, companion for the data centers. And that's what's different between, let's say, the normal, typical electricity supply that we would have in Ireland at the moment and nuclears. And that's really why we're seeing Google and Microsoft chase this type of technology.
So if the big boys are willing to dip an expensive toe or a toe into the expensive water of SMRs, is it likely then that states around the world will follow?
Maybe. And look, I'll be honest here. Look, I'm not a fan of nuclear either. But actually, look, when we hear, you know, the devastation that's happening in places like Valencia, and we're here, you know, the challenges coming up with climate change, the more options that we have to meet our energy needs with clean and low carbon polluting fuels, the better chances that we have of meeting our climate targets and avoiding dangerous climate change. The challenge, though, for civil governments is that, look, everything that we're talking about at the moment is not something for today or tomorrow. This is a bet on a technology that may or may not be available in 10 years' time. And Google, they're hoping to get these things built for 2030. There's a lot of water that needs to go under the bridge, first of all, before, I suppose, civil governments will take it for granted that these things can be applied. They need to be proven that they're affordable. They need to be proven that they're safe. And of course, look, people have to be willing and happy to live near them, which is a big challenge as well.
Mm-hmm. But we are grappling with this problem. I mean, we know that the volume of new renewables connecting to the grid, so the new wind and solar energy, that was all eaten up by data centre demand. So we've already identified the problem here, and we probably need to diversify in Ireland too.
We do. Look, and I think in Ireland, we should keep our options open. And I think with things like nuclear, we need to be honest with ourselves. Look, this is something that may or may not happen in 15 years, and we should take a watching brief on it. But we shouldn't wait for it to happen and hope that it does happen. Unfortunately, from an energy perspective and climate perspective, waiting and hoping are poor strategies. So taking a more pragmatic approach to continuing building out our wind and solar is something that we need to do in Ireland. But the problems that we have in Ireland, Claire, aren't, again, around technology. They're around time. You know, we're going through a climate crisis at the moment. The Irish government have identified a biodiversity crisis, and we've been through one of the most difficult fossil fuel crises that we've been through in the last 40 years, and we still only awarded a handful of planning applications for wind farms in the last couple of months. So our challenge is time, and unfortunately all the nuclear in the world or all the technologies in the world won't challenge that, won't fix that. We need to be quicker and more agile in Ireland in awarding and planning, permitting and building cleaner technologies. Because if we don't, we'll probably end up painting ourselves into a corner and having to really look at these technologies and hope for these technologies to come true in 2030 and afterwards.
So we could be forced into a position where we have to look at nuclear when actually what we should be doing in the immediate term is deal with the planning around the renewables that we currently have and that we know work.
Exactly. We're doing ourselves no favours in Ireland by the time it takes to get stuff built. And this is, look, unfortunately, it's not just around energy infrastructure. We're seeing it in other elements of the economy as well. But time is our biggest challenge in Ireland. You know, it's really the permitting, planning and construction process.
Paul, it's always fascinating to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us once again. That's Dr. Paul Dean from University College Cork. We'll take a quick break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.